today. Praise God. Amen. And we're just going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Genesis, chapter number 1. Going to read 2 verses of scripture here today, and then we'll see what the Lord would have for us this morning. Praise God. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. Praise God. And so we're going to talk about earth this morning. Amen. Earth, the dwelling place of mankind. Praise God. Let's just ask the Lord to help us today, and let's pray for those that are sick in body. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. Your word is so profound and so true. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would help us this morning, that you would open up our eyes, our hearts, our spirits, and God, to be able to understand what you would have for us here this morning. God, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, we pray for these that are sick in body. We bring them before you, knowing that you are more than able to heal them and to raise them up. God, we pray for Sister Pam. God, asking for complete healing there. God, we pray for Brother Wirths, asking Lord Jesus to heal his body and to raise him up. God, touch Sister Michelle. I pray, God, that you would heal her, raise her up, touch her mind, her body, and her spirit. We pray for Sister Roxana today. Praying, God, that you would touch her. Lord, keep your hand upon her. God, and cover her with your healing virtue in the name of Jesus. Be glorified in this place today. Lord Jesus, I pray that your word would come forth today, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart today. Let your spirit speak expressly, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. What a complex planet that we live upon. Amen. What a complex creation that it is. There is no way that we could even begin to explain it, for scientists themselves are still trying to study it. Even though there are many mysteries that have been revealed, and they have begun to understand such complexities. But I just wonder, when we get to heaven, what a minute amount of understanding will have been revealed upon the face of this earth. Amen. And you think about that, and you begin to ponder about the periodic table and all of the elements that are there. And scientists, in all of their wisdom, have begun to understand that water is created of hydrogen and oxygen, and just all of these different things that they first had to find a base for. And then in finding that base, they were able to come to the conclusion that hydrogen and oxygen, I guess that would be two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, can make some amount of water. And so they, in their wisdom, think that they are so wise to be able to figure this out. And when we think about the science of all of that, we think, you know what, that is actually pretty profound. In the fact that some teacher could teach you for 12 to 16 years of science, and scientists have studied this for ages, for decades and centuries, being able to understand this. Men have given their lives to understand this. All of the inventions that have been made with the properties that they possessed. Electricity. And Benjamin Franklin, thinking that he had discovered such a wonderful thing when he flew a kite with a key that was attached to it. And then they began to harness the power of electricity and use it, and began to come forth with light bulbs. and such. And we moved from the age of the candle to the light bulbs and the incandescent lights, and then the heat that they produced and such, and then the brighter lights of the halogens. And now we have such bright lights that are called LEDs, and they produce hardly any heat whatsoever at all. And we have learned to change the colors, the prisms of light and such. And so man just thinks that these wonderful, glorious discoveries and inventions that they are coming up with is so unique. But in reality, it's all probably compared to about a thimbleful of water in the knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. And in declaring how wise we are and all that we have come to figure out of the complexities of the human body, and how that cells work, and how that tissue works, and how that skin regrows, and how that the protection is there, and the blood vessels that are there, and the properties of the blood and such, and what magnificent discoveries have been made in all of that. And when in reality, it took God just a few moments to design or to think of something, and then just scooping down and getting some dirt of the ground, he began to create the things that have baffled mankind for centuries. Amen. As a matter of fact, when we look into the Bible, we see that it was only 6 days. 6 days that God created the heavens, that it took him to create the heavens and the earth. And so 6 days of creation, culminating with the creation of man, the high point, the crown of his glory, amen, made in the image of God. And then just simply breathing into the dirt, a glorified mud ball, breathing into dirt, and the heart beginning to pump, blood beginning to flow, all from dirt, all from dirt. Life came into that man. And the Bible said that man became a living soul. The Bible teaches us in Genesis 2 and 8 that the Lord planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man and the female that he created in there to keep and to dress it. And 1 and 27, God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female. Amen. Genesis 5 and 2, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says that Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And through all of this, Genesis 1 and 30, one says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. Amen. God doesn't make junk, and God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. God is perfect. Amen. God is perfect. Amen. In his ways. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible says that the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. John said it, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. And then Moses declared from the wisdom of God that on the seventh day, that God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. Praise God. And there, within just two chapters, and then a declaration from a New Testament chapter, we have the entire creation of earth and mankind that is in that. And here we are, multiple thousands of years later, and we're still living upon the same earth that Adam and Eve lived upon. We're still under the same sun that Adam and Eve glazed upon in the days. We're still looking at the beautiful moonrise, amen, that came up, that lit the Garden of Eden in such its clothed hue of blue there, or the yellow or the goldenness of it. It's the same moon, amen, and multiple thousands of stars, amen, that our forefathers looked upon all the way back into the days of Adam and Eve. Praise God. It's the same universe. It's the same planet. It's the same areas. It's the same place. From that Garden of Eden flowed four different rivers. And these rivers, one was known even by the name that it's known by today, the Euphrates River. Amen. And today we can go and we can either fish from or sail upon or view the Euphrates River that started and flowed right there in the Garden of Eden. The same world that Noah found his delight from, and all of the people that was there in his day and time, they were there. But back in that garden, where there was no death, in that garden where there really was no hatred, where the lion and the lamb could lay together, and where the trees bloomed and the flowers blossomed, and the beauty of it was about them. And the dew of the morning watered the grass and watered the trees. And the trees produced such lush fruit. And the smell of the clean, fresh air that was about that. In everything good that we can say about that Garden of Eden, we would have to declare that it was as close to heaven as mankind would ever get upon the face of this earth. It was the place that was designed by the mind of God, designed by the finger of God. Amen. Spoken by the voice of God. Amen. It was a garden. It was a habitation. It was a peaceful place that God prepared for mankind to dwell therein. And in that garden, we would see that Adam would commune with his wife and would commune with God. And the animals would come to Adam, and Adam would name them. And that Adam could partake of everything that was in that garden save the tree of life. Amen. And so I was thinking upon that this morning, and I thought to myself that somewhere in the 1500 year AD, that a man, by an explorer by the name of Juan Ponce de Leon, was sailing across that vast ocean that we have now called the Atlantic Ocean, and landing somewhere there in Florida, he began to look for the fountain of youth, to reverse time, to take him back. And when we think about that, that's exactly the way that God intended for it to be. For God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he said, you don't have to worry about this thing that you don't even know about, that we know as death. But he simply said that if you don't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall never die. That's pretty much what he said. Because he said, in the day that you do partake of it, ye shall surely die. And so in that garden, with all of the trees that were there, I don't know how many hundreds or what kind of number was represented, but in that garden there was one tree that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there was another tree that probably Ponce de Leon was looking for, even though he thought it to be a fountain, but God had planted it there and called it the tree of life. And when you began to think about that, we would see and begin to realize that this was the plan of God. That man would not be able to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they could sit under the shade of the tree of life. And that they could partake of the goodness of the tree of life. And they could partake of everything else, but the tree of life was not forbidden of them to partake of. And so Ponce de Leon, you was in the wrong part, and you were definitely in the wrong frame of time. Amen. For that was the days that Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, in a place where it was most like heaven, in a place of utopia, euphoric in all of its mannerisms and ways. Amen. There was no fear that crept out from that garden as the lion would roar out Amen. There was no fear in that time, amen, of anything. It was bliss. It was peaceful. It was glorious. Amen. And it was the plan of God. And when they exited the Garden of Eden, when they left after that they had sinned, the Lord spoke unto the angels and said that Adam and Eve would be able to come back into the garden and partake of the tree of life, they should set an angel with a flaming sword at that garden's gate. And so the Lord established it because that mankind in his fallen condition would never be able to partake of the tree of life, therefore living forever in a fallen condition. Praise God. But God had created a way for them to get back into communion through the blood sacrifice, and time would progress, and we would see that Adam would toil the ground, and that Eve would bear children, and we would see that the family would grow. And we would see that in time that their sinful nature would kick in, and of course one child would murder the other, and then the sting of death would come upon the face of earth. And it was not just an animal that was killed for them that they felt the tragic feeling there, that the animal was killed because of their actions, but now they felt that somebody that they had loved, somebody that they had endeared close to them, was now gone forever to never come back to them again. And the judgment and the penalty of that sin had been placed. And Cain had even said that his judgment was greater than he could bear. But life would go on, and we would see the multiplication of humanity in that. And we would see that it was not, and I'm going to say this very carefully, but nevertheless it's true. There was not a place of depression. I believe that depression probably had its place there, but we would see that the majority of humanity seemed to be having a good time. Seemed to be having a good time. The Bible lets us know, as it begins to teach us concerning these things, it paints a picture of humanity, of people who did eat and drink and they married wives. Amen. It paints a picture of partying. It paints a picture of lots of laughter, amen, and lots of good times. It paints a picture of swell times, of marrying and giving in marriage, and eating, therefore the crops are plenteous, and the harvest is there, and the animals, the food is there, and people are just pleasing themselves, and they are very selfish, and that's what they desire is, amen, everything that is good to them. They withhold nothing from that. They are having what we would call the closeness of heaven at their fingertip. That was, amen, that was as much as they could possibly have. And we know that God did send a flood and destroy them, but somehow or another, amen, sin crept back into and upon the face of the earth, and we see that God would once again send destruction into his creation there. And concerning the sister cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it is recorded that they also ate and drank, and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built. And so they were having a wonderful time, enjoying life, building the pleasures that they desired, and eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting. And the Bible even speaks when Solomon spread forth out just a little bit of his wisdom. Amen. Solomon declared and said that he had given himself unto wine and building houses and planting vineyards, making gardens and orchards and planting all kinds of fruit trees and pools of water and having servants and maid servants and more cattle than anyone in Jerusalem, gathering silver and gold and having choirs and orchestras and whatsoever that his eyes desired, the Bible said that he kept not from them. And so it paints a picture that Solomon was having a grand time in life. And I can imagine that all of those that were around him were enjoying the things that Solomon had set his desires to. The Bible oftentimes speaks of kings and queens in different areas, living in their palaces, in their walled cities, ruling over their servants and such, and having a marvelous time in doing all so. Princes and rulers, kingdoms grand and glorious, riches untold were upon the face of the earth. The Bible says, amen, that even Belshazzar had a party before the thousands where he drank of the gold and the silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. The Bible teaches us that the grounds of a certain rich man brought forth plenty to the point that he needed to build bigger barns. Amen. What a wonderful time, amen, that he was having, thinking that he was doing everything right in life. Amen. And that his hands were prospering and his riches were growing. The Bible also teaches us of a rich young ruler, amen, that came to Jesus. Bible teaches us of a rich man who was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Amen. It does not paint in these pages, it does not paint a picture of heartache, and that's all that the earth was. Amen. But there were things that were glorious, that people thought were glorious, that was going on, amen, in and upon the earth. Praise God. The Bible tells us that there are things of this world to love, for even Demas himself forsook Paul, amen, for the present world. Amen. The Bible teaches us that even in the Old Testament, that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, amen, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, signifying that there are pleasures. There is some happiness. There are fun times. There are riches. There are fine times and fine garments to wear. There is places of authority to be had. There are mansions to inhabit and to live in. There are bank accounts that can and will be filled to the place that there are even billionaires upon the face of the earth today. Amen. It infers to us that there are things that causes man's eyes to lust after, that causes man's desire, amen, to seek and to make man proud of. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is prominent even in this day and age right here upon the face of our earth. Amen. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the last days. Amen. And here we are today. Amen. And we live in our homes, and we see those that live about us in their fine homes and drive in fine cars, amen, and working in wonderful places, amen. The world has offered the abilities for man to work for himself and to make much money.
Praise God. And all of these other things that are out there upon the face of this earth, the joys that they tend to have or think that they have, amen, even the love of the families that are amongst them and the parties that they have, the alcohol that is so readily available to whomsoever will to partake of, and the wonderful times that they feel that they experience when they ingest or take this into their bodies. Amen. The multi-thousand dollar meals that they sit down to partake of. The finest steak. The greatest meals that any chef would be able to cook and to make for them is at their fingertips. Amen. A good friend of mine that pastored in the Nevada area had a man in his church that was a wonderful chef. And this man was chosen by one of the presidents to be his personal chef. And so here's the president of the United States of America having his own personal chef. And I thought, man, that would be glorious. But you know what? I got my own personal chef too. Just saying. But I listened to some of those oil field men that is out there, amen, out on the waters. They're, amen. What do they call that? What is that? Offshore. I knew it was shore, but I couldn't think. Onshore, deep shore, something. It's offshore. And there they are, offshore out there. Amen. But they have personal chefs that they are out there, that they hire, that comes out there. Amen. And they cook their ways and such. And to have all of these things at your fingertip, amen, to make things happen. Amen. But even we could go into the place of these people that feel like alcohol and liquor of certain types is not good enough, and so they have taken the elements of the earth and concocted some type of poison, amen, and they call it drugs, and they inject these poisons, these drugs into their bodies to give them some type of euphoric feeling, amen, out of the world experience that they can have, and then they wake up. All of the things that they give their lives unto, the immorality and the drunken parties, and waking up the next morning wondering what they did and finding who that they have been with, and all of these things. And sometimes they may regret it, but bring on another Friday and we'll try it all over again. Amen. What am I saying? I am simply saying this, that this place that we call earth for such as those, amen, and don't take me wrong, because I don't believe that thou of poverty, amen, get you any closer to God, amen, but such as we have spoken here of tonight or this morning, amen, that those that all would include, be included into that vastness, and I would even say into the majority of it, because the Bible says that wide is the gate, and many there be that go in thereat, right here upon the face of this good planet that we call earth, the place that God created himself, amen, the place that scientists say thousands of years of erosion have whipped through the mountains and eroded out a canyon called the Grand Canyon, when reality is that God probably took his little finger and scraped a ditch into earth and flicked it upon the Rocky Mountains, amen, and dusted it with some snow and caused a river to run through that. Amen. It makes more sense than evolution. Makes more sense than erosion. Makes more sense than a lot of their concocted things, simply because they cannot understand the ways and the mind of God and the ability and the power of God. But yet they've got to come up with some answer to profess themselves as wise. Amen. In this place that Adam and Eve considered to be euphoric, in a place where we have even deemed to be, amen, as close to heaven as mankind can get, because the earth was created, amen, in all of God's glory. Amen. The leaves and the trees still sing the praises of God in their creation, in their rise. But it is in this place, amen, on earth, amen, it is the closest place, amen, it is the closest thing that a sinner will ever get to the place called heaven. Hallelujah. I said in it today, this is the closest that the sinner is ever going to get to heaven. Amen, 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 amen. I wish that they would understand therein. Amen. I wish, amen, that they could see the things that have been prepared, amen, for the devil and for his angels. Amen. And how that hell hath enlarged herself, amen, to partake of all of those. I wish that they could see the wide gate that is set there to swallow up all of those, amen, who do not accept and partake in the truth. I wish that they could see, amen, the things that they are forfeiting for the pleasures of life here upon earth. My mind just begins to think along these lines. What on earth are you going to trade for heaven? What is it, amen, that you've got to have? What is it, amen, that you cannot go without? Is it the pride of life that a man cannot forfeit? Amen, the ability to fall upon his knees and to say, forgive me, God, for everything that I have done wrong. Is it money that will cause a man not to be able to lower himself to come to God? Amen, for fear an opposite reaction happening to him and him losing everything. Is it, amen, some type of love relationship, amen, that in lowering themselves to come to God, they would lose a loved spouse or lose family members? Amen. What is it that they are looking for? Amen. Are they looking for drugs? You're not going to find them in hell. Are you looking for love relationships? You're not going to find it in hell. Are you looking for big bank accounts? You're not going to find that in hell. Amen. Are you looking for a great and a wonderful time? You're not going to find that in hell. Everything that the sinner experiences right here on the face of earth is as close to the taste of heaven that he will ever, ever taste. Amen. Amen. But Jesus has said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This doesn't have to be as good as it gets. This doesn't have to be, amen, the apex of your life. This doesn't have to be the high point. This doesn't have to be the top of the crescendo in all of it. This could simply be just the initial taste of something much greater than a place that is called heaven. Let's love him today.
Bible teaches us that rich man that fared sumptuously every day, clothed in fine linen and purple, that was as close to heaven as he would ever get, because as the scene changes and death comes to pay him a visit, this rich man cannot buy his way out of hell. And in hell, we see another picture of this rich man, and the tables have been turned. The beggar has become rich, and the rich man has become the beggar. And now, amen, the rich man as a beggar, in all of his fine clothing, linen of purple, amen, has disintegrated and melt, amen, vanquished into ashes. We would see that he is there, and he is lifting up his voice in a tormented state, whereas the beggar used to lift up his voice in a hungry state.
Now the rich man, being the beggar, lifts up his voice and he begs for one drop of water upon the tip of his tongue. Amen. Whereas he used to have all the money that he could purchase whatever it was that he so desired, now he doesn't have enough money to buy a single drop of water. Amen. If the city of Augusta could not produce it, amen, the White River or the Walnut River being free, oh, amen, of cost, amen, he could not buy a drop of water out of a mud puddle, amen, somewhere on the street, amen, of Ohio. Amen. He did not have enough money, amen, to beg, to borrow. He didn't have enough money to get anything. There was no way. I want you to know that he got what he wanted on the face of the earth. He had a great time. He had wonderful bank accounts. He lived life to the highest. He had the finest clothes. I don't know how he obtained his riches, but he was a rich man. He did what he wanted to do. He came when he wanted to come. He ate when he wanted to eat. He did everything that he wanted to do. Amen. And it was as close to heaven as he could get. But in hell, he wished that he would have gave it all, amen, to some beggar and changed places with him so that he could have the taste of heaven that Lazarus was having.
Trade it all. Trade it all. Amen. How many people are there today that will not trade anything because they're so afraid, or just simply they're too proud to do that? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How many people have felt like they were right? The Bible said there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And when they see truth, they will not accept truth because of their proud life. Amen. And they would rather trade it all in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I just simply want to inject this, and I'm going to do it carefully, but I simply want to inject this here today. And I will profess and say very loudly and boldly and clearly that I don't plan to go to hell sitting on a Pentecostal pew. In other words, in the Cowan Amplified Translation, I'm not coming to church to play church. If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. But I'm not going to try to live, amen, this life free from all of the fun that this world is going to have and then still be lost and go to hell. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm going to go to hell, I'm going in style. I'm going in style. I'm not going to sit here, amen, and act like I'm supposed to act, dress like I should dress, pretend who I'm really not, and be lost. I'm not going to hide in the closets and look at things that I shouldn't look at, talk to people I shouldn't talk to, hide in the darkness and do things that I shouldn't do, hide in rooms and watch things that I shouldn't watch, and be lost. If I'm going to hell, I ain't doing it on the front pew of a church. Right. If I go to hell, I'm going in style. I'm leaving the church. I'm going to go live life exactly how I want to live it. I'm going to do everything that I want to do. And I'm going to have a grand old fun time for as long as I possibly can. Because judgment comes. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. And I am going to be judged for everything that I have done. The Bible said that every idle word would be brought up in judgment. Everything that I've thought is going to be brought up in judgment. And so if I'm making the choice, because that's what you do. That's what you do. If I'm making the choice to go to hell, then I'll go in style. It's quiet, But I want you to think about that. Why would you ever try to pretend and to live what the world calls bondage and then die lost? There's no purpose. There's no reason for that. But friend, I've come to declare to you today, this world isn't my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just a weary pilgrim traveling through this land, looking for a home that's much better than what man can build. Looking for a place that Bill Gates' money can't touch. Looking for, amen, a city whose builder and maker is God. Elon Musk can't produce enough money, amen, to buy a brick in that place where it's paved. The streets are paved with gold. Combined all the money in this world and the billionaires that have it, they cannot buy a second in the pearly gates of heaven. This is as close to heaven as they'll ever get. But you know, at the same time, this world isn't all about the goodness, the greatness, the money, and the wealth, and the parties, and the drugs, and the lifestyles, and the relationships. This world isn't all about those things either. For there are the things that hurt, that cause much pain upon the face of this earth. And the Bible teaches us that it rains upon the just and the unjust the same. That there are those of us that have experienced the sting of an untimely death. There are those that have experienced bankruptcies, poverties, lost cars, lost houses, lost jobs because of economical collapses. Amen. There are those that have lived lives full of disease from births. The Bible speaks of lepers. Amen. Speaks of the lame. Speaks of the halt and the blind. Amen. Speaks of those that had the palsy. And those that had sicknesses. Amen. Those that felt the pain of death. A woman having lost her child that had been promised unto her. Amen. Jairus losing a child. Amen. And the list goes on and on of the tragedies that are upon the faces of this earth. The hurt that is there. Amen. Solomon even said, after all of his grandiose speech concerning the things that he possessed, he said, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which is now in the days to come shall be all forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? He said, therefore I hated life. Amen. Solomon, you're telling me you hate life when you've got servants who'll do anything and everything that you want them to do. You've got houses and vineyards and orchards, and you've got boats, and you've got cars and trucks, and you've got everything that you could possibly want. Amen. And yet you hate life. I've lived in the biggest cities and been through, amen, the neighborhoods, amen, that holds million-dollar homes. And I've seen the exotic cars as they have set in the driveways, the Porsches, the Lamborghinis, and all of the Maseratis and Ferraris and things that set there, amen, and all of those things. But yet, there is things that they do not possess. And oftentimes, these people, amen, behind closed doors are miserable. I'm not saying that they're all miserable, for many think that they're living high on the hog. But oh, friend, these things called death,
death and disease, amen, are not a respecter of person. They touch every area. They touch all manners of life. Amen. And it causes the same pain and the same emotion. The Bible paints the other side of the coin as well. Amen. Talking about those that ran from cave to cave. Amen. Living in the wet, dank caves, fearing for their lives. Amen. As kings and queens tried to have them killed. The Bible speaks of that beggar that sat at the rich man's table. Amen. And those that felt the stings of all of these things. Hebrews speaks of those that were tortured, trials of cruel mockings, scourging, times of in bonds and imprisonments, destitute, afflicted and tormented. And even in this day and age, you've got those that are living from paycheck to paycheck, that have got just enough money to put some food upon the table, never being able to get ahead. Amen. Living on tight budgets. And just the wrong thing happening at the wrong time sends their life into chaos. Amen. It could simply be needing new tires on the car and not having the money to do that. Sickness that comes upon an individual that causes one to lose their job. Lies that are being told upon people right here upon the face of the earth. And this is nothing that is surprising to any of us. How many have we heard say, I feel like I'm living in a hellhole? And oftentimes we look at these third world countries and we think to ourselves that they're probably not far from there. And we see the missionary slides of the poverty that is invested into that country. The diseases and the bugs, amen, and all those things that are there. I want you to know that to the child of God, the one that has experienced the death, the burial, and the resurrection right here on the face of this earth, that is, this is as close to hell as they will ever get. If you live a life of misery, if you live a life of disease, if you live a life of poverty, and you've repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name, been filled with the Holy Ghost, friend, this is as close to hell as you will ever get. Because God's got something better planned for you. Amen. You can think to yourself as you kneel beside your bed and you begin to weep and begin to cry. God, do you know where I am? God, do you hear my voice? God, would you touch my body? Amen. The times that you've been in pain and you've cried out and said, God, would you just ease the pain a little bit? Amen. Sometimes it may happen. Other times it may not happen. But yet I want you to know that whatever you face, whatever you experience, whatever you feel, right here upon this glorious planet called Earth, that's as close as you'll ever come to hell. For hell is a place where pain never goes away. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not. Hell is a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But friend, on the other side of that coin is a place called heaven. It's a place that I desire to go. It's a place that I long for. It's a place that I'm seeking after. It's a place that I'm living for. I'm looking to cross through those pearly gates. Amen. In the heavens. I'm looking for a place where there will be no more tears. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more loss. There'll be no more. Amen. Of the cross. Amen. No pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that's going to sit upon the throne is going to say, behold, I make all things new. A place, amen, where corruption's going to let go. And incorruption comes upon. A place that I can dwell in a new body around the throne of a Savior that died for me. Let's love him as we stand here today. The choice is yours this morning. The choice is yours. Is this going to be the closest thing to heaven you ever experience? Or will this be the closest thing to hell that you ever experience? The choice is yours, my friend. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging somebody to look beyond the now. Look beyond today. Look beyond tomorrow. Amen. For we know not what tomorrow holds. We can only stand and say, if God wills. We can only pray, God, in your name. We can only ask in the name of Jesus. But he who holds my life in his hands, he who holds the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he who holds the keys to life and death, has my life and my future in his hands. And I love him, and I'm content to leave my life right there. Are there some things that I can have fun with upon the face of this earth today? Absolutely. But I want you to know that in his presence, I still feel there's joy and pleasures at his right hand forevermore. I'm comfortable living this life. And if the world sneers and mocks and makes fun, if the world gouges me, amen, and prods me and tempts me to do wrong, I want this to be as close to hell as I am. Ever get. I'm looking for streets of gold, walls of jasper, and I don't plan on looking from the outside. I plan on looking from the inside. I plan on living in a mansion. I plan on being around, amen, a crystal clear river. I plan on seeing a throne. I plan on 12 foundations looking upon them. I plan on seeing my Savior face to face, beholding him and taking my crown and throwing it at his feet, because I plan on making heaven my home. A place that the wicked cease from troubling. A place where the weary shall be at rest. A place that Paul told Titus, looking for that blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for new relationships. I'm not looking for new money. I'm not looking for finer homes. All of those things may come because of the blessings of God. But if none of those things ever come, I'm not looking for those things. Because my home is not upon the face of this earth. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim traveling through this land. And I plan on going to heaven, whatever the cost. God, are there things that I have to lay down? I'll gladly lay them down. God, are there things that I should refrain from? I'll gladly refrain from them. There's no cost too high. There's no price too high to pay. God, am I wrong in any area? I'm not too big to admit it, because I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. I can say I'm wrong. I can say forgive me. I can repent of my sin. I'm not too big to do it, God, because I understand the prize at the end. I understand the judgment that's coming. But I also understand, God, that one of these days you're going to call all of your saints home. And the hardships that we have faced here upon earth, amen, are going to be so minuscule compared to the glories that are in heaven. And the pleasures that one enjoys upon the face of this earth, to have it their way, amen, they'll never compare to the pleasures that I'll experience in heaven. And the hardships that I had here upon earth will dull in comparison to the hardships that the lost will have in an eternal lake of fire. I'd rather die a pauper. I'd rather die diseased. I'd rather die not experiencing any of the pleasures that Demas forsook you for, God. Amen. Than to be lost forever. I want to make heaven my home. Hallelujah. This is the place where you dwell. This is the place where the choice is yours. This is the place that you can make your decisions. The Bible says one day death is coming and judgment is appointed. Have your calling and make your calling and election sure. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.